Nahum 1. Look, striding across the mountains, a messenger bringing the latest good news. Peace. Celebrate, worship, and recommit to God. No more worries about this enemy. This one is history. Close the books. Psalm 35. But let me run loose and free, celebrating God's work, every bone in my body laughing and singing. God, there is no one like you. You put the down and out on their feet and protect the unprotected from bullies. Psalms 37. The spacious, free life is from God. It's also protected and safe. God strengthened, we're delivered from evil. When we run to Him, He saves us. Psalm 124. We'll discover we've flown free from their fangs, free of their traps, free as a bird. Their grip is broken. God's strong name is our help, the same God who made heaven and earth. Nahum 1. The Lord says, I've afflicted you, Judah, true, but I won't afflict you again. From now on, I'm taking the yoke from your neck and splitting it up for kindling. I'm cutting you free from the ropes of your bondage. So let me ask you, are you free? Well, you say you are, but what is your evidence? I believe we confuse agreement with commitment. People agree that God is right and true, but there is often not much of a commitment to actually do it. Just because we agree doesn't mean we intend or commit to do anything. Jesus said, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8:36. So if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says we are free, and we agree with Him that we are free, as He said, why are we willing to wear even a small yoke of the enemy? Many seem willing to continue bearing the burdens of their own past, unwilling to truly lay them down. Even though the Lord says He has cast our sins as far as east is from west, sometimes we're even willing to bear the burdens of someone else's past, whether they are biological relatives or not. Why are we so willing to blame our problems on someone in our history when we are the ones, through our own choosing and poor decision-making, we are the ones who have generated vicious circumstances and cruel, self-imposed rules? It wasn't them. It was us. Why do we have such a hard time letting God be good to us? Listen to the question here. Why do we have such a hard time letting God be good to us? Come on, it's a really good question. He said we are free. So how free is free enough for you? Can you imagine being free? And what does that look like to you? Are you willing to be pretty much free or mostly free? How free is free enough? We take God's ultimate words of freedom and reduce the weight of what He said to align with unworthiness in our own eyes. We try and recreate the yoke of bondage for people who Jesus has set free, telling them that even though Jesus set them free from sin and all their history, there is still a curse which hangs over them as a result of their great-grandfather or mother or someone in their history who is long dead. Those people have nothing to do with us. They are no longer among the living. So I'm wondering, how did some curse survive the washing of the blood of Christ? By us telling them they are still under a curse after accepting Christ is like saying the blood of Jesus wasn't sufficient to cleanse us from all sin. Are you, who do deliverance, telling people they have generational curses Are you saying the blood of Jesus isn't quite effective enough to really do the job that you, yes you, being the only one who knows of this extra special condition, which was somehow beyond the vision of Almighty God, are you saying only you can bring relief to the poor, undelivered soul, which even God himself was not able to do? For what reason do you bring into bondage again those whom have accepted Christ as Savior? Having confessed their sins and asked for his forgiveness for any and all transgressions, why do you offer for them to come back into bondage by trying to influence them into believing they are still under some curse? Is that the work of the cross of Christ? Whose burden have you decided they should carry after Jesus set them free from the burdens and weights of sin and darkness? Proverbs 26:2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not light. Well, have you ever read that? Think about it. If there's not a cause for the curse to come, then it doesn't stick. And I don't care who the spellcaster was that made it. Yeah, it doesn't stick. If we are under the blood of Jesus, then how does a curse stick? The word used for unleavened is Greek adzumos, metaphorically meaning free from the leaven of iniquity. You are not responsible for the leaven of my iniquity, nor anyone else's either. I am not my brother's keeper. I am my brother's brother. It's not my job to make sure my brother gets life right and keeps the rules in order to be okay. God never asked any of us to play Holy Ghost Junior, policing people's lives. I didn't say don't care. I said my problems are not your cross to bear. You have your own burden, and don't need mine too. Those who do deliverance, do you hammer on sin until the person admits they are guilty? If they don't see it, then all the hammering may actually cause them to comply, but probably nothing of the heart was changed. I do believe that's called gaslighting. It is manipulating someone into confessing to something which may not have actually occurred. When I was a new Christian, I was told I was and always would be a terrible sinner, so I'd just better get used to it. In my desperation, I confessed to the Lord every problem I could think of, and even sins I'd never been guilty of, constantly confessing day and night. Over and over and over, I was desperately trying to be free as opposed to believing God who said, I am free. By the blood of Christ, we are free. The Lord is telling the truth. We are free. We don't have to get saved and constantly repent to become free. We are free in Christ. Oh, yes, we are. God said it, so it must be true. Amen. What do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.